For our scripture reading, I would like to direct your attention first of all to the psalm, Psalm 1, and then secondly to a portion that echoes that psalm, and that is from Jeremiah 17. First of all, Psalm 1, hear God's word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let us now turn to Jeremiah 17. And we pick up our reading at verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so is he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's now together make a confession of our undoubted faith as we remind ourselves of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Beloved congregation, it's past midnight, and there is a blue glow on that person's face. There are squared eyes glued to the screen of the phone or the iPad, or and you know that your mind is going and you won't sleep for some time. Young people, do you recognize that? Past midnight? Does that happen regularly? What are you searching for? What are you looking for? Why do you want to sacrifice your sleep? What is so important? You know, that happens. When I was young, I had those moments. Now, maybe not with the screen, but with other things. It's so important. You know, there's so much out there that can capture your mind. And can capture your imaginations. And can capture your heart and put it all in bondage. You know what the CEO of Netflix said? From a streaming company who provides all kinds of videos for the older people here. Provides all kinds of videos. He said this. You know, think about it. When you watch a show from Netflix and you get addicted to it, you stay up late at night. So we are competing with sleep. Now, if that's what your life is about, your eyes are glued to the screen, and there's all kinds of things that you want to know, and you have an appetite. It can be easily that you come to church and you think, well, that's boring. When we talk about reading your Bible, well, that's boring. Because something else is tugging at your heart. What is it? Movies, YouTube, video games, apps. And you know, your memory bank, your mind, can only do so much. There's a limited capacity there in taking up the things that you need to think about. So what you are filling your minds with is very important. It will stick with you through your entire life. What you are crowding your brain with is very important. So what are you filling it with? Are you filling it, by the grace of God, with those good things? Or are you filling it with all those things that are ultimately worthless? Because what you're filling your brain with is really telling you, this is what I love. It shows where your love is. And actually, when it comes to the Bible and Psalm 1, we see the same principle. What you're really delighting, what you're really satisfied by, that is what you crave for. And so it is with the Word of God. If you fill your mind with the right thing, especially with the Word of God, that is going to satisfy your desires even more than anything what you have there out on those screens. Our text says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So this person, the godly person of Psalm 1, is glued to the Word of God. He's focusing on the Word of God. And let's meditate on this verse together for a moment and look at the context. As we think about our theme, Scripture-saturated delight. When we lack it, when we love it, and when we live it with the grace of God. Now, Psalm 1 is a well-known psalm to all of us, I think. It sets the tone of the rest of the book of Psalms. And it divides the world in two groups, only two groups. There's only two ways, the way of the godly and the way of the wicked. And it shows that, one of the beautiful characteristics of a godly person is that that person enjoys to be with, meditating on the Word of God and enjoy spending time looking at the book that God has given. And so maybe you are here tonight and you say, well, that's indeed a godly person, but that's not me. Why is that? Why is that not you? What is filling your mind? What is filling your heart? Why are you not filling your mind with those things of the scriptures that, make you wise unto salvation? That can give your heart and your soul delight beyond compare. Nothing else in this world can truly give the delight that the Word of God gives. And the fact that many people these days don't find delight in the Word and meditate on the Word of God is actually a problem that is widespread. And actually, we can trace the problems of many of in our Christian world. We can trace those problems back to this lack of solitary, that means being on your own, mind-saturating meditation, which is focused on God. Many of the problems our days is because we are filling our minds with different things, not with the things of God, not with the Word of God. Maybe you ask, well, what is meditation? Well, meditation is really deep thinking on the truths of God as He sets them before us in Scripture. And we do that, we want to understand it, we want to grasp what God has to say to us, we want to apply that to our lives, and we want to profit from it, and we want to bring that back to God in prayer. That's what meditation is all about. Thinking on the Word of God. Children, when you take a sponge, and you have a bucket of water, you take that sponge and you dump it in the water, and you submerge it, and you allow that sponge to suck up all the water that's there. That's a picture of what meditation is. You are with your mind and your eyes focused on the Word of God in order to drink it in, to saturate your mind with the Word of God. So the question is, what are we keeping awake for? Is it like this psalmist that is keeping awake for even for the Word of God? What are we filling our minds with? Is it the Word of God that brings delight to our soul because we meet Jesus Christ there? We see the grace of God on display in the Word of God, and it gives joy to our hearts. Or is it those other things around us that have captured our attention in such a way that we are addicted to it, perhaps? The activities, what's going on around in the world? Your computer, what's happening? And maybe it even leads you to certain types of anxiety. What will happen in the world? What is happening there? And what's happening? How is this going to go? What is your mind focused on? And now we can ask the question, what is the reason that I don't have that joy in the Lord that this psalm is speaking about? This text is talking about a delight in the law of God. Well, you may wonder, why don't I have this? Well, maybe there's someone who says, well, I find it hard to really read my Bible because I find it hard to read. And then the Bible, it's difficult for me. Have you ever tried an audio Bible? To listen to those things that are out there, sermons, there are apps. If you wonder where you need to go, ask me. Send me an email. I will gladly help you.
But maybe you say, well, you know, life is so difficult. And when I then come to the Word of God, it seems to lose all its power. What's the matter with you? Have you ever delighted in the Word of God? Or have you delighted in the law of the Lord and then you lost your first love? You forgot about it. You forgot what satisfaction the Word of God can really give in your life. You know, when God spoke through the book of Revelation, through Paul to the churches, what did he say to those who had left their first love? He said three things. Remember where you have fallen from. Where do you come from? And then repent. So confess your sin and then do the first works. If you've ever delighted and now you don't delight, then that is the remedy. Remember. Remember how God has spoken to you in the past. And repent of those things that now hinder. And do those first works. Go to the Bible. Look at it. And pray over it. And pour over it. Until you delight. But maybe you say, well, that's not my problem. I just simply can't focus on the Word of God. My question is, where can you focus in life? Is there any other place where you can focus and you, when you like it, you focus, right? We focus on what we love. So what then is the issue? Isn't it the issue then, not necessarily I can't focus, but the issue is, what do I really love? What do I really need? I need a change of heart. A change of heart that redirects my loves. Maybe there's someone who says, yeah, but Pastor, you know how life goes, right? It's busy. Granted, life is busy. Absolutely. And yes, I grant to you, meditation can be difficult. It can be easy. It can be at times not be easy for you. It's like exercise. When you want to exercise, you need to make yourself do it, especially when you want to begin with it. If you are going to run for 10 kilometers, you don't do that the first time. You start with little pieces. And then you learn. And as you learn, you exercise yourself. And you actually at a certain moment get delight out of it. So it's not so much a matter of it's too busy. No, it's a matter of what's your priority? What do you think is really important in life? Is this important? Is the Word of God important? Is God important? Is salvation important to you? Then do it. Go to the Word of God. The bottom line is, what are your desires? Do you want spiritual joy where you want true joy? Then you need to learn to be in the Word of God, not just to read it, but to learn to meditate on it. But if you say, well, I have no desire for the Word of God, and you wonder, where am I spiritually? Maybe that's your question. Where am I spiritually? How can I know whether I am an unbeliever? Or how can I know whether I am backslidden? Well, the question is this. An unbeliever is spiritually dead, has no desire whatsoever. It's just these are facts, and maybe you know about the facts of the Bible, but they don't get to the heart. They don't move you to seek the Lord. And so when you open your Bible, yeah, well, you know that is a good thing to open your Bible. And so you turn your page and you read maybe a little piece and then you tick the box. That's it. Well, it didn't do anything anymore. Again, it didn't. That means that you're spiritually dead. That's serious. That's serious. Then you need to seek the Lord. Make me alive, O Lord, through the power of the Word. Because the Word is able to make wise unto salvation everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who seeks Him with your whole heart. But someone who is backslidden, who has lost that first love, is maybe weary, is maybe not satisfied where you are, is feels very weak, maybe disappointed, and maybe you haven't felt close to the Lord for a long time, but deep down you want to be close to the Lord. Deep down, but you have lost hope. Then seek Him. Come to that Word with expectation. But if you have come here tonight and you say, well, I have no desire whatsoever, what is your problem? Let's explore it a little deeper. Let's go a little deeper and see if we can find out what's happening in your life. The text says this, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And that word but leads us back to verse 1. There you see that the blessed man who the psalm speaks about, that godly man that meditates on the word of God, is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You see, there's a downward spiral, if you will. He first walks in the counsel of the ungodly. If you're an ungodly person, you first walk in the counsel. Then you stand there, you listen, and you feel comfortable with it. And then you sit down and you become part of it. That's the downward spiral. But the blessed person is not like that. But if you say, I have no delight in the Word of God, I don't meditate on the Word of God, where are you here? Are you listening to the counsel of the ungodly and fill your mind with those things? Are you being conformed to the way of sinners? Do you feel comfortable there? And maybe you have become like scornful, sarcastic about the ways of God, because you have become like the people, those scornful people that don't repent of their sins but love their sins, and you sit down with them. Where are you? Is that what you are? If you don't desire the Word of God, if you don't desire Jesus Christ, then here's a picture for you. There's somewhere you are. You are filling your mind with something else. Maybe you say, I've got a problem, so let's Google it. And you look, and don't look at the source, whether it's Christian. I just need an answer to this question, whatever the answer is. And you're trusting the counsel of the ungodly. You don't go to your parents, your godly parents, or you don't go to the elders or the deacons or the pastor with your questions. But you just Google, fix it. Counsel of the ungodly, perhaps. And so you go to internet. Or what about standing in the way of sinners? You are just more and more acquainted with the ways of sinners because what you're watching, because of all the news feeds you go through, because of what you see on Facebook and other things. What's getting your attention? What is getting your time? What are you filling your mind? You become more and more acquainted with it. What gets your attention so much so that you say, well, I want to sacrifice sleep for this. And you're long hours, not to read your Bible on your phone. No. You're just there to search something. Something that your heart desires. Well, don't be surprised when the result in your life is that you begin to think like the world, you begin to relax like the world, you begin to talk like the world, and you find that it's the delight in the same things as the world, and not in God. Because that's what you're feeding your mind. That's what you're feeding your heart. And you're hours and hours and you're moving and shifting over internet and you're clicking and you're clicking away further from God. Filling your mind with distractions. And the Bible becomes boring and the preaching becomes boring. And God seems to be far away because what? Your soul is shriveling, or if you've never been made alive, you are dead. You're living for the desires of your heart. You're dead or you're withering. It's either one. Spiritually dead, or you were alive, but now these things seem to crowd out all your desires for God. That's why we read Jeremiah 17. It speaks there about a tree that is flourishing, and it speaks there about a heath that's in the desert, in a dry and weary place. And that's a picture. That's a picture of your life. You're either flourishing by the grace of God because your desires are shaped by the Word of God, or you are like that heath in the desert. And what's the matter with those? What's the difference? What makes the difference whether you are in a desert land spiritually or whether you are flourishing spiritually? Well, ultimately, the difference is this. You either trust in God and His Word and what He says in His Word, and you're blessed. Or you trust the things of this world, and you trust the counsel of this world, and you trust man, world, the people around us, the ideas. And God says, you're trusting in the cursed world. You're trusting in man, therefore you're cursed. That's serious. That's serious. Now, how does this change? How does this change? When God comes with power to your soul in the preaching of the word and takes you captive and takes your heart and your desires captive, then it changes. When you learn to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you from all sin, when you learn to look away to a Savior who is perfect, to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to the Lord with repentance, Lord, this is my life, I'm spiritually dead, make me alive, O God. And you turn away and you look away, and what do you see? You see Jesus Christ was that blessed man. That blessed man of Psalm 1. Who never ever walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Who never ever stood with sinners. Who never ever sat with the scornful. And that's why He can save sinners such as you and I are by nature. Jesus Christ is the one who said about Him in Psalm 40, I delight to do Thy will, O God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. It's written upon my heart. I delight in the Word of God. I delight in the will of God for my life. That is the Savior you and I need. And He can change us. And whether we trust Him makes all the difference. Or whether we trust man makes all the difference. Whether your life is either blessed tonight or whether it's either cursed. So where is your hope? What are you filling your minds with? What are you really loving? what is really satisfying to you? Is it Jesus? When you see how perfect he is. He loved the Word of God. Now, what happens when we love it? Secondly, our text says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. This word means feelings of pleasure and satisfaction for your soul. Why is that? How can you feel satisfaction in your soul when you read the Word of God? Because God has made your heart alive and has changed your desires, or is changing your desires. And now you want to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. You want to fight against sin. You've been made alive, and you want to know about him. You want to delight in him. And now you want to dig deep into the Word. That's what meditation is. We're digging for treasures so that we know God and so that we can love God. And that brings joy to your heart. That brings delight to your heart. That brings satisfaction to your heart. This becomes now the all overriding delight of your life. Over all the other delights, this becomes number one in your life. So that you can say with Paul, I delight in the law of God. In the inward man. Now, what makes it so attractive to be in the Word of God? Because God himself shows himself to us there. He comes to our soul and he speaks to us and he reveals himself to us. That means he takes away that curtain, as it were. And he speaks about peace. He speaks about forgiveness. He speaks about his glorious character through the Word to us. He visits our soul. And sometimes it takes a while because there are these hindrances in our lives. And we need to wait upon the Lord. And we need to cry after the Lord. Lord, come and visit my soul. Now, that's difficult in our time because we don't have much time, right? We're busy with all kinds of things. But what do you want? Do you want to go through the McDonald's drive-thru? Just eat something for instant gratification, just a quick bite? Or do you want to go to a fine restaurant where God spreads a banquet before you through the Word of God? And by the grace of God, you can come and eat and be satisfied with fine dining. Now, if you are constantly being influenced by the things of this world and you click and click and instant gratification, then having patience in the Word of God is a difficult thing as well, right? But that comes with a high cost. And this is the cost. It comes with this cost. That you don't have real satisfying deep delights. That you don't have patience to wait upon the Lord. Because you are so used to instant gratification. But it comes also with this cost. That you remain spiritually immature. Because you're not feeding. You're not chewing your food. So that your spiritual life can be strengthened. You would say that's malnutrition. When we just take a few bites and we forget about it. And that's why our life, we open the door for temptations easily. For lies of the devil. For idolatry. Because that's then something that comes alongside and attracts us. And we think, I'm going behind that. Temptation. Idols. Because we have not learned to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with patience. And perhaps you say, well, it's all too difficult for me. I've given up. Not for me. I've tried. It didn't work. Is it because you are in that fast food mentality, that fast-paced consumer mentality? I need it, and I need it right now. The Lord has been speaking to you over and over. Come to me. Trust in me. Don't go to your idols. Over and over he's been speaking to you. And if he doesn't come right away to your soul, do you give up on him? Don't you wait for him? Don't you persevere? Is it not far more important that the Lord comes to your life and makes you alive? That you wait for him with expectation till your soul is filled with satisfaction in God and in Jesus Christ and in his cross? That's far more important, isn't it? But maybe you say, well, Pastor, my problem is not so much time. I can make time. My problem is not that I'm impatient necessarily. My problem is not desire. I hope there are many here tonight who say, I want this. I long for this. But my bigger question, my struggle is really, how do I do this? Well, the simple answer from our text is this. Focus. Focus on the Word of God. Till you delight in that law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? That doesn't mean necessarily the Ten Commandments. Yes, that includes it. It's more than the Ten Commandments. It's the whole Bible. And then fill your mind with it. But we will see in a moment, that's not all. You need to meditate on it. Maybe you think, well, meditation, that sounds like either Eastern mysticism kind of thing. You need to empty your mind. No, that's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is that we focus on the Word and that you saturate your mind with the things that are there, that you fill up your mind with the truth of God and that you meditate. And children, when winter starts, right, we are sometimes cold. We're sometimes cold. What do we do? We go inside, and if we have a nice and cozy fireplace, we stand there. We stand there, how long? Till we feel nice and warm. So it is with meditation. We need to set time apart and warm us by the fires of God's Word. One of the Puritans, Thomas Watson, said, "The reason we often come away so cold from reading the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fires of meditation." So how? The question is how. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates day and night. That means constant. That is a habitual thing. That has become a habitual thing in the life of this person throughout the day, yes. But you also set times apart to meditate. And maybe even sometimes at night when everything is quiet in the house. Like Psalm 63, a couple of weeks ago, we thought about that. That person was, even in the night, he was thinking about God. So here's the first thing that is needed. Most of the time, we need to be alone for a moment. Do we still get alone sometimes? Young people, especially you, take some time alone. Think about Isaac. Isaac was about to be married. He was waiting and hoping that his servant, that the servant of his father would come back and bring him a wife. And he didn't know how that all would go. How did he spend his time? Do you remember? How did he prepare for marriage? Being alone in the field. How do you prepare for marriage? He was praying and meditating on the Word of God. He was spending time in communion with God. It says there in Genesis, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide." Is there an Isaac today who thinks that he can go and meditate on the things of the world, YouTube, video game, and that's going to prepare you for real life? Is that the Isaac of this day? Can you still be alone with God? Well, you can say, well, you don't need to be a monk, right? No, that's right. Maybe the Middle Ages, they went into that place and we know worldly engagement and all that because they thought they would be more holy in that place. That's an extreme. But our time is the opposite. Maybe they were extreme, but we are extreme the opposite. Let's do things. Let's be active. Let's do good things. Let's keep busy. Let's do great things for the Lord. And is it all wrong? No, absolutely. Many of the things that we are doing are not wrong. But is that eating away from the time that we can spend alone with the Lord and therefore we are weak spiritually? Because activity for the Lord needs empowering by the Word of God, needs time where you spend time with the Lord alone. So that's the first thing. We need to be alone with the Lord like Isaac was, time with the Lord. And then we begin with prayer. You could pray, for instance, Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. Or you may pray, Lord, show me Jesus. Show me his salvation. Lord, open my heart. Short prayer. And then you open your Bible and you read. You need to understand what is the word saying here. So you do it first for understanding. You look at the context. Too often we come to our Bibles and we say, well, what can I get out of it? What is in for me? No, let's first try to understand. Take time to understand. What is this saying? What does it really mean? And then choose maybe one verse. And focus on it. And take bit by bit of it. And chew it. Taste it. Maybe it's a doctrine. The love of God. Or the sovereignty of God. Maybe it's an attribute of God. God is merciful. He's full of loving kindness. And you taste it. What does it mean? What does this mean in context? And so you meditate. It's like taking a piece of candy and you chew upon it. Taking a piece of food and you want maximum nutrition from it. So you roll it over in your mind. You taste every word of it. The word meditation really means you are even talking to yourself. You're on your own, so you don't need to be ashamed. You just quietly, on a low voice, repeat the verse. What does this mean? You ask questions. You muse. You ponder. You pause. And you want to know. You want to understand. Meditation is different from study. Study is mainly understand, but meditation goes deeper. You want to understand in order to take it in. What does this mean? What does it mean for my heart? What does it mean for my life? What does it mean for my job? What does it mean when I interact with other people? Yes, you want to understand. Yes, you want to worship. Yes, you want to imply because you want to be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may more and more prove what is the good and acceptable will of God, and that you're not conformed to this world, but be transformed in your thinking. So how do you do that? Take a text. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of this world. Behold, I need to look. I need to look away. Where do I need to look? I need to look to the Lord Jesus. Who is that Lamb of God? That Lamb of God, what does that mean? Well, that Lamb of God is that Passover Lamb. What was the Passover Lamb for? It was there because Israel needed to be led out of bondage. This is that lamb that was in their place, in the place of that oldest son that had to die if the blood was not on the doorposts. Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. He is that glorious Passover lamb. His blood needs to be on the doorposts of my heart. And I need to look to him. that Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. What does he do? He takes away. What does he take away? Well, he takes away sin. The sins of this world. Who is this world? Am I part of this world? Yes, I'm part of this world. I need to have him. I need to look to him. I need to behold that Lamb of God. He can take away my sin. Lord, I come with all my sin. I've been struggling with this sin and that sin and that sin. Lord, take it away. Wash me clean. Take away the sins of the world. How did he take it away? By bearing the cross. By bearing the shame. By bearing the sins. By becoming a curse. By becoming a sacrifice. By being killed. By staring death into the face. That's how bad your my sins are. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of this world. Lord, take my sins. Take them all away. Take them all away. And that's how you meditate. That's how you meditate. You ask questions and then you go into prayer. You read and you pray. And you pray and you read. You meditate. And often we just read and then you go to prayer. And the missing link is that meditation, that time that you set apart where you chew on the word. And many Puritans said that's what you need. They advised begin with reading or hearing of the word. Go on with meditation and end with prayer. Another Puritan said this, the great reason why our prayers are ineffectual is because we do not meditate before them. So what do? We come alone, come apart to be with the Lord for a moment. And then we pray, we take a piece of scripture, we read scripture, we focus on one verse, we chew upon it, we take it apart, and we bring it back to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want to see Jesus, that Lamb of God. Lord, take away my sins. His blood can take away my sins. Lord, I trust. Forgive my sins. And so you can meditate about all kinds of things. The word is full. The Puritans often, they meditated on heaven. Isn't that a glorious topic to meditate on? To meditate on heaven. One of the Puritans took a half an hour every day to think about the glories of heaven, the beauty that is to come. Christ, the glorious one on the throne. Christ, the one who intercedes. Christ, the one who is at the right hand of the Father. Christ, as we heard last week, in whom we are hid with him in God. Glorious. And you can meditate on the ugliness of sin, on the ugliness of hell, on the fact that we are worthy to die, the shortness of our life, the attributes of God, the sacrifice of Christ, the loveliness, the beauty, the glory of Jesus Christ, his gentleness. You see, there's an endless ocean to pour our minds over in order that we would sit at the feet of Jesus and worship him and love him. And that the word brings us to Jesus. Brings us to him. Also now. Brings us to him who as the Savior, the only Savior, filled his mind with the things of God. It was his delight. His delight was indeed in the law of the Lord. And he meditated on it day and night. Do you see him, children? He sits there with the scribes and the Pharisees. And his parents don't even realize that they have left him in Jerusalem. Because his heart was in the things of the Lord. He was left behind. And there he sat with all those who were learned and knew a lot about the scriptures. And they were amazed at what he was saying, because his mind was filled with the things of God. He had been meditating on it day and night. And his mouth just poured out the wisdom and the things of God, and people were just hanging on his lips. And in his life, it was fulfilled. Psalm 119, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. That's about Jesus. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. His mind was set on the things of God. And people were astonished when he heard his teaching, when he spoke as no one ever spoke. He spoke with authority. Gracious words poured out of his mouth about his Father, about his suffering, about the kingdom of God. And people loved to hear him gladly. Why? The law of the Lord was his meditation day and night. Do you desire true Christ likeness? Then fill your mind, saturate your mind till you delight in the things of the Lord. Meditate on them day and night because it has great benefits. So if you set your minds on the things above, and you become like this godly, blessed person who meditates day and night. You pursue true joy in God by saturating your mind with the scriptures. You're blessed. There are great and glorious promises. Because as you seek for those things and search for them like gold and silver, As Proverbs 2 says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You will find God himself, the knowledge of him. You will know him, and the truth of God will set you free. As you delight in him, as he becomes the source of all your delight. As Jeremiah 17 says, the fountain of living waters to your soul, refreshment. And that's what we see also in verse 3. Four promises are held out to those who make God's law their delight. You will find spiritual refreshments. You will be planted by rivers of waters, it says. What is that? What is the picture? Well, a tree and irrigation canals toward that tree. The water can stream freely to that tree so that the tree can suck it up. Spiritual refreshment. And then that water becomes the sap that keeps the tree what? Fruitful. Second thing. Brings forth fruit in its season. Jeremiah 17 speaks about that green tree. The green tree that trusts in God, trusts in God's word. What happens with that green tree? Even when the drought comes, there's this irrigation channel. And that leaf continues to be green. It says even when drought comes, there's no carefulness. That means no anxiety. That's possible. That the word of God has such power that it drives away our anxieties. And aren't many of us fearful in all kinds of ways? What's the opposite? Well, that heath, right? The heat of life comes, that parched place, that comes good even to that tree. God still cares for that tree. There's many good things that you enjoy in your life. But what happens? He doesn't even realize the good things. He doesn't even realize the channel of the good things that stream to him. Because what? Focus on selves, focus on sin, focus on the world, focus on the circumstances. And God says, that's a cursed life. That's a cursed life. God can spiritually refresh you. He can make you fruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can make you vibrant.
leaf shall also not wither. You go through ups and downs through your life, but you're feeding, you're trusting, and your life is stable because of that stream that comes to your heart and mind. And you prosper. It says, whatever he does shall prosper. Remember Joshua? He had a difficult task in front of him. God said exactly what this psalm tells us. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And what did he do? He was courageous in battle. He was courageous. He brought the people into the promised land. They prospered spiritually. Why? He meditated. Do you want to accomplish something lasting, not for your own name, not for your own glory, but for the Lord? Then pray, then read, then meditate, and pray again. But if you want your life to be cursed and dead, and spiritually disappointing, and meditate on the things of the world, put your trust in man, not in God. Judgment will come. What will happen? You will be blown away by the wind like the chaff. You will not be able to stand in God's judgment the last day because you continue to waste your time on things that don't profit. What is it? You know what it is. Don't waste your life. There's something that satisfies, and that something is a something with a capital letter S. Someone, I should say. God. He is a delight if you know him. Because if you don't know him, if you don't know his word, if you don't delight in his word, what happens? Persecution comes, driven away. Lies comes, driven away. Temptations come, driven away. Who do you need? Jesus. Each one of us tonight needs Jesus. So let's look to Jesus. If you see I lack this or that, I have feeble efforts, or I have sinned, I have forgotten about this, then look at his faithfulness. And find your delight in him tonight. He only can be and bring the delight that you need through the word of God. His mind was indeed filled with the scripture so that he could resist the temptations that we face. He perfectly resisted them. We heard this morning about one temptation. Here is another temptation. Make for yourself bread. Do something that is pleasurable to yourself. He said no. Why? His mind was filled with the will of the Father. Obedience. It is written. Three times. It is written. His mind was saturated. Therefore, he could resist. He found delight in his Father's will. Perfectly. That's the Savior you and I need when you have fallen into temptations. And even when drought came in his life, didn't there come a terrible drought? That suffering, where he was, as it were, driven away like the chaff, and God made him a curse. He was faithful unto death. And even in that deepest darkness, that pitch darkness, what rolls from his mouth? Scripture. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He meditated on the law of God day and night, even when he suffered. It came naturally to him. His delight was in the law of God. His meditation was hid in his heart. The word of God was hid in his heart through meditation. And his life brings true prosperity. His life was always green. Didn't wither, as it were. Because he knew no sin. As he went through death. But death could not hold him. He took that curse, so that sinners could, yeah, like you and me, could be blessed, so that he can give that to you. He shall see his seed, Isaiah 53. He shall prolong his days. He shall live forever.
and the pleasures of the Lord will, through His hand, prosper. It will have success. Because, why? I glorified my Father. I did His will on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And that finished work is the only hope we have, not in our meditation, not in our scripture reading, not in our prayers, not in our confession. Nothing in my hand I bring safely to the, simply to the cross I cling, simply to His salvation I look. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He became a curse so that He can make you blessed. So let us saturate our minds until the fire in our heart is burning. Let unconverted friend, make Him your delight. Search God. Meditate on His word. It's worth it. When you find Him, you find greater treasure than anything in this world. Through Jesus Christ, you, even you, can also become a Psalm 1 person. Because He was a Psalm 1 Savior. He was that blessed man. And because of that, He still blesses sinful people like us. Let's pray.